Good evening. Before we get started with our announcements for Ryan, our evening service this evening, I have two announcements to make very quickly. But before I do that, thanks again to these guys that did a fantastic job as they always do. We're all so proud of them and just the bravery that it takes. And it's just a great time to be able to come here and be together. There's two announcements I want to make very quickly. The first one is this Wednesday, I'm going to have a printout for any parent or anybody who wants to help out with Lads Leaders. And so I'm doing this now because I did not really understand. There's a ton of year-round things that the kids can be doing. For example, if they memorize 100 Bible verses between now and Easter, they get a medal. And the cool thing about this isn't just for kids. It's for everybody in here tonight. So I think it's a cool challenge for all of us. Memorize 100 Bible verses with these kids. When you send your name in and you get some kind of recognition, okay? You have to go. But it'd be a great thing to do with the children here. And we'll have a list of verses they can memorize. We'll memorize your own. That'd be great. But things like that we can do that grow these kids over the year. That's our goal with this program. Another thing tonight, all these guys who read scripture, the guys who sang, well, if they sing read scripture so many times between now and Easter, they get another medal. That's already taken care of with things like this. There's a ton of stuff we can be doing year-round. They can be working towards, and we can recognize them for at that ceremony on Friday night. And at that one, it's all about the work you do throughout the year, not just the one day, but every single day, working for God, doing what God wants these young people to do. Wednesday night, I'll have that list for you. And the second thing I want to mention is starting this Wednesday night, our kids between just graduated high school and I don't really know the cutoff exactly. We're going to call it a young professional / college age class. So really a class for those people who are in between the teen class and Dustin's young adult class, okay? Because years ago they started this with Dustin's class. And as Dustin has gotten older, so has his class. And that's just how the world works sometimes. But this class is for those people who are looking at starting careers, looking at building relationships with people, going out to the world and beginning college, whatever it might be. And it's going to be taught by me and Michael Farese. And the purpose of this, and I got with the elders and I talked with some parents this past week, is that I counted about 20-ish people between 18 and 30 here at Beach Hill who'll be a part of this class. So we're excited for that time, be able to come together on Wednesday nights at 7 to be able to focus on the things that will build us up together, things that will make us stronger together. And hopefully we as a group can be better and stronger lights in the world due to that class, due to our study with one another. So that's this Wednesday night it will start. Of course, next Wednesday night will be VBS, but throughout this summer, throughout this quarter, we will have that class on Wednesday nights. But thank y'all so much. I'll turn it over to Ryan.
Good to see everyone. We already had a great start tonight to our worship of these young men, and there's good announcements. We're encouraged by that class. It'll be great, and we need it. So it's good. We appreciate that. We're glad that those who have come to be with us tonight, we see a few visitors that are here, and we're thankful that you've come our way. As you know, we've got a special night planned. After our worship here, we'll all gather at the Ripley Park. May have time for you to get changed or do whatever you need to do, but we'll gather at the park later on and we'll have some food and some softball and just some fun together. But everyone is invited. Food is provided, okay? So you don't have to worry about that. Just bring yourself and we'll enjoy one another. But we're glad for that and those who have prepared things and planned this event. But you're all invited to that after worship tonight. Some announcements that we made this morning I want to remind you of about the youth. The Ukraine mission, if you can, young people will leave the church building Friday, this Friday at 1 o'clock. The bus will go to Holly Springs Church and help them load the truck of all the items that we were able to get for the kids over in Ukraine. We'll help help them load the truck, and anyone else who wants to come and follow us there and help or be a part of that. I don't care how old you are. We'd love to have you be a part of that. So that's this Friday at 1 o'clock that the bus will leave from the church building. And our Vacation Bible School is here. Lord willing, it'll be next Sunday night, and we'll go nightly 6:30 to 8 o'clock, classes for all ages. If you have any questions, please see Winston about that. The teachers are ready. I know they're getting their rooms decorated and some other things going on, and there's some a lot of people involved in this, and we're so thankful. But let me ask this, if anyone can help make cookies for VBS this week, homemade cookies, if you can help with that, please see Monica. If you can do that, as soon as you can, let her know, talk to her about that. But homemade cookies for VBS, there's a need for that. So if you can help, that would be wonderful. Those who are on the list that we've been praying for, we know about Miss Samantha Withersby. We're praying for her. Her surgery is June the 9th, her stage one breast cancer. We pray for her. Miss Shirley Estes, you may have gotten the remind today where she has fallen again and she's in a cast. I don't know the details about where the cast, you know, what she has had casted, but we pray for her. We hate to hear that, but she's waiting on an appointment at Sims Murphy Clinic, and we'll have more details about her. But please pray for Miss Shirley Estes. Also, my dad, Tommy Simpson, this week he'll discuss some radiation schedule, and I want you to be praying for him if you would, please. And then Mr. John Champion, please pray for him having some difficulties and complications after he's had a stroke. Visit to the ER yesterday, but maybe we hope that he's had a good day today. And Theo Smith, this is the son of Winston and Mallory, of course, and soon to be born. And there's some tests going on and be happening the next few weeks. So please pray for them and always keep them in mind as that day gets closer. And but we are thinking about them for sure. Now, the men that will be leading us in our worship service tonight. Michael Freese, he'll read from God's Word, and he'll have our opening prayer. Paul Ward has our closing prayer. And at the appropriate time, Brother King will speak to us tonight from God's Word. If you will now please join in as Dustin McMillan will lead us in our singing.
Number 233. Sing the first and last verses. Number 233.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last, when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus in at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
We're now turn to number 602. Before our scripture reading and prayer this evening, we'll be number 602. We'll sing the first and last verses.
There is a habitation built by the Hosanna.
Our scripture reading this evening will come from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for all the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for this opportunity in which you've allowed us to be able to come here today, both this morning and tonight, to worship you and to study from your word. We ask that everything that's been said and done here today would be in accordance to your will. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd be with those who've been mentioned here this evening. Please be with Samantha Weathersby as she will have surgery this week. Please be with those that will be taking care of her, and please watch over them as only you can. Please be with Miss Shirley Estes as she recovers from a fall. We ask that you would continue to be with Tommy Simpson as he undergoes tests. We also ask that you would be with Mallory and Winston and Theo as they are developing a plan with their doctors for Theo's birth. We ask that you would continue to watch over them. Please continue to also be with John Champion and his family at this time. We also ask that you be with others who may be on our hearts and minds, and we ask that you would be with those that are taking care of them and those that are administering to them. We ask that you be with King as he will deliver another message from your word this evening. Please let him have a ready recollection of the things that he's prepared. We ask that we can take this lesson that we hear tonight and apply it to our everyday walks of life. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to this earth and died upon the cross for our sins. Please forgive us of all our many sins. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Song for the lesson this evening, number 108, or 108. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses.
My Savior's gone a mansion to prepare in yon fair land. Adorned it will be with jewels rare, not made with hands.
Mark in your songbooks, number 459. Our song of invitation will be number 459.
We thank you, Dustin and Michael, for leading us so well in worship tonight. Very beautiful songs and a reading appropriately from the Epistle to the Hebrews. And we thank those boys that allowed us the opportunity to be able to hear them as they continue to grow. And we are able to hear them in these practice sessions on some Sunday evenings. We begin tonight where we began this morning in our study of God's Word with that last verse in Hebrews chapter 10. And we were considering this morning what the writer was talking about when speaking to Christians. He spoke about the faith that is for the saving or the preserving, the keeping of the soul. And we as Christians are very much interested in that. We want to keep our souls, not lose our souls, but to preserve our souls in right relation with God and with the blessings that he's given us in fellowship with him through his son and with the hope that he's given us, a hope that we sang about tonight in those lovely songs. So how do we preserve our souls? How do we keep them? What is involved in this? And we saw this morning by looking back in the preceding verses that the Christians to whom he sent this letter had certain qualities. They had a past record that was commendable. He was encouraging them to continue in that, and therefore they would continue to have the faith for the saving of their souls. But he does something more than that that's also useful to us, and that is he gives us that 11th chapter of Hebrews, because these illustrations are illustrations intended for Christians about this very subject, about the faith for the saving of the soul. And as we look through that chapter, we see some characteristics of such a faith. And I wanted you to think with me tonight as we follow the thoughts of this writer, as he was guided by the Spirit of God, and thus together we consider God's word and what it says about the faith for the saving of the soul. And so we will glean from this chapter and from these examples that are intended for us as Christians a better understanding of this faith whereby we can keep our souls where our souls ought to be and where God would have them to be. These are Old Testament examples. So what would they have to do with the Christian's life? Because these people that are mentioned in this chapter had the faith that we're to have. There's not a kind of faith that Old Testament people have, and our faith as New Testament people is altogether different. That's not the case at all. There is a faith that is pleasing to God, whereby we may be pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and these examples of such faith are commended to us as Christians. We can learn from these of the past. These are the elders who had a good report, as we're told in verse 2. That report came from God. God is the giver of that witness or that report card concerning their spiritual condition, and he would have us to know about it as Christians. And so as we study about these older ones, from ages ago and about their faith, we're learning something about the faith for the saving of our souls. And one thing that we see in verse 3, when we read by faith, we understand that the worlds or the universe, the material order that is visible to us and its history through the ages, that all of that comes from something that's unseen. Therefore, those who would say to us that all is matter and all that matters is matter, that all things are material and there is nothing else, are not telling us the truth. But such people are encountered, and what they present to us when they say that is not science. What they presented to us is their philosophy, their faith. Some of them may be scientists who say that, but it's not science that has taught them about the such materialism. By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made by those things which appear. Behind the material order and its history, there is a spiritual power explaining its source, its creation, and its direction. And if one gives up that, if one adopts the view that everything is material and always has been and always will be, and that there is no spiritual realm or power, then one has given up the faith that these people had and the faith that characterized the earliest Christians. And we do something that's quite destructive to ourselves and our hope to live a Christian life. There can be no consistency without faith in God as the creator, no consistency to the way one conducts his life. There would be no ground, no certain ground for moral choices, no reason to say to anybody that this is the truth because somebody else's opinion would be regarded just as true as perhaps what I think to be the truth, and who would decide the difference. And what happens in that kind of world is that those who are in power decide what will be true today, what will be right today, and what will be wrong today. And you either conform to that or you find yourself paying consequences for not doing so. When God is totally forgotten and it's all left to human opinion. When people adopt that viewpoint, they lose the faith in God that will maintain their integrity. Let me give you an example, and the Bible sets it before us in Acts, the 5th chapter. The apostles were before certain authorities who had determined what the truth is about Jesus of Nazareth. And they wanted their will to prevail on that in the lives of all people under their influence. And Peter and the apostles listened to those men. And then Peter said, "We must obey God rather than men. It's only by this kind of faith and the power of God behind all things and the certainty that he is himself the basis of all truth and morality that a person can speak that way unintimidated by any human force, power, or opinion and maintain that faith with such courage as Peter and the apostles displayed on that occasion. And so have many, many other Christians. This faith for the saving of the soul is also a faith that is known for its obedience. This is emphasized very strongly in the case of Noah in verse 7 of this chapter. Here's a man that was moved with godly fear. He had faith in God. He heard the word of God, and he acted upon it. His attitude was that when God speaks, one is to have the utmost respect for that. He had reverence for God. And being moved with that godly fear, he obeyed. He obeyed the word of God, and he prepared that ark for the saving of his house. We'll be studying about that in Vacation Bible School in the classes, I believe on Tuesday evening. And the example of Abraham is brought to our attention too. When he was called, verse 8, he obeyed. He left his house, he left his city, he left his country, he left his kinsmen because God said, get on the move. Go out from this place, and the Bible says he went. God said go, and he did what God said to do. And this is the character of such a faith that is for the saving of the soul. It's not something that is simply done once when one obeys the gospel and becomes a Christian. It's a way of life. And it continued to characterize Abraham and the patriarchs, and their example is brought to our attention. When you read in verse 30 of chapter 11, that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, you finish the verse and it says, after they had been compassed about for 7 days. That involves some people who believed God's word and obeyed it. And for 7 days, they did a most extraordinary thing. Who had ever heard of such a military strategy? 7 days they obeyed God. And 6 days those walls were still standing. And on the 7th day they were still standing. And as they went around the city 7 times, those walls were still standing until they had finished doing everything God told them to do. And then, just as God said, the walls fell and the city was taken. The faith for the saving of the soul believes God and obeys what God says to do. The faith for the saving of the soul is a faith that lives with the purpose of pleasing God. You see that in the case of Enoch in verses 5 and 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. This man had witness borne to him that he was righteous. What made this man righteous? Every day he lived with the conscious purpose of seeking to please God. We gave some attention to that in a recent sermon. But I wanted to mention it again tonight because this is a characteristic of the faith that is for the saving of the Christian soul. that every day of life he lives with the purpose of seeking to please God. This faith for the saving of the soul is also a faith that acknowledges God's work of redemption and acknowledges it in all the ways God has given us a privilege to express it. We did so in the partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning. It was even done so tonight in the scripture that was posted on the board before our worship service from Ephesians 1 and verse 7. That is, in Christ we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of God's grace. Where do we find that in Hebrews chapter 11? You find it in the example of Abel, who offered that more excellent sacrifice to God than Cain did. He did this by faith. Faith is based upon the word of God. God has always instructed his people about worship, and Abel showed an understanding of those instructions, appreciation for God's word, and an insight that goes all the way back to the experience of his parents in the Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel did not grow up in the Garden of Eden, but you can have confidence they knew about it. And they knew why they were not living in the Garden of Eden. But they also knew that in the Garden of Eden, after the trespass of their parents, God had spoken a word of hope about redemption, about one who was to come, who would settle the matter once and for all. And there would be a need for a redeemer that would suffer. And with that instruction and that insight, it was by faith that Abel offered. And he offered a blood sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, and expressed the acknowledgement of God's work of redemption that required dealing with sin seriously, and God had a plan to do that. And Abel expressed worship that was according to that plan. And we understand that. We understand in that through the gospel something that many people in the world find it difficult to understand. And you will go to school with them. You will work with them. You will meet them along the way in life. You may even have some in your own family that will ask the question, why does there have to be any kind of sacrifice? Why would God's son have to die on the cross? Why can't God just simply forgive? He's love, isn't he? Why can't he in his grace and mercy just say, I forgive. Oh, that's nothing. No big deal. Sin's wiped out. But it's through the death of his son that God teaches us about the gravity of sin, about the seriousness of the problem that has separated humanity from God, and about the need for a redeemer and a reconciler. And God himself gave that. Out of his grace, he himself provided the sacrifice for our redemption. And that moves us in our hearts when we understand that. It moves us to trust in God and to obey him. It draws our lives to him, and it changes us, and it continues to change us as Christians, because saving us is not about just getting us into the waters of the baptistry. It's about what happens to us the rest of our lives, all the way until the end. God's work of saving us continues. That's why the writer says to Christians that you need this faith for the saving of your souls. And that's about life. This faith for the saving of the soul is also characterized by submitting to God's will. You know, there's a verse in this chapter that's difficult to appreciate without some knowledge of the background story. I'm talking about verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. Now, to understand the significance of that example of faith, example of Isaac, you have to read in Genesis chapter 25, beginning at verse 19, chapter 26, and then especially chapter 27. And after you've read those 2.5 chapters, then you'll understand this one verse in Hebrews chapter 11 about Isaac's faith and what it's teaching. Isaac did not marry until he was 40 years old. And he was blessed with Rebekah. And Rebekah could not have children. And you know what Isaac did? He prayed. God heard his prayer. And after 20 years, Rebecca had twins. And while those two were still within her, she spoke to God about it because she was deeply troubled, physically troubled by the way she felt. And God gave her an answer and a revelation. Two nations are in you and will come from you. And he spoke about those two boys and he said, the elder shall serve the younger. And then many years go by and those boys are growing up and God speaks to Isaac and he gives to Isaac the promises he gave to his father Abraham. And those are promises that involve you and me because one of those promises and the greatest of them is this. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God had already revealed to Rebecca, and you can be sure that Isaac knew about this, that the choice God had already made was that the younger one would be the one who would bear the promises. He was the chosen one. It would be through his line that these promises would be fulfilled, and in his seed that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the Redeemer that would eventually come. And in chapter 26 of Genesis, God reminds Isaac about his father. Your father obeyed my voice. Well, what did Isaac do? Well, the record shows in chapter 26, Isaac obeying God. And God's blessing him. And he's like his father. But then you come to chapter 27, those two sons are grown men now for some years. A lot of time has gone by since God spoke to Rebekah about those two infants in the womb. And Isaac favors the older one, Esau. And he wants Esau to be the chosen one, the one that receives the blessing. He wants it so much, so great is his favoritism toward the older son. But God had said, the elder shall serve the younger. But Isaac and his resistance to that, perhaps hoping that a lot of time has gone by and time will have changed all of that, he sets in motion a plan to give the blessing to the older son, Esau. And it doesn't work out that way. And when he realizes what's happened and that he's pronounced the blessing not upon Esau, but upon Jacob, just as God intended. The Bible says in Genesis 27, verse 33, that Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Why did he tremble at what happened? Because he knew that the hand of God was close by and that God had acted and overruled the resistance and the stubbornness of Isaac. And Isaac said, yes, and he shall be blessed. Because he realized that resistance to God's will is futile. And if one has faith in God as he ought to have, he will repent toward God and submit his stubbornness, submit his will entirely to God's plans. And Isaac did that. And so by faith, he blessed both sons concerning things to come, but he did so as God willed for it to be done. Then you come to Genesis 28, and what does Isaac do? In full awareness of what has happened, he pronounces a further blessing upon Jacob and gives him encouragement and all the support of his love and his faith for God's will to be accomplished in his life. Now, that's a powerful story about the nature of this faith that is for the saving of the soul. It's not about Isaac alone. It's about us as Christians following God's plan for our lives. We are to live as sojourners, like the patriarchs. That's another characteristic of this faith for the saving of the soul. Peter spoke to Christians as sojourners and pilgrims in this world. And therefore, we must be wary of becoming so attached to this life and the things of this life and all our hopes and dreams and plans being caught up with life in this world that we lose our sense of priority and perspective. We lose our faith in God and put our faith in ourselves and the things of this world. So what do we read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? They were tent dwellers. And to use language from the Apostle Paul, all of us really are tent dwellers. And we need to remind ourselves of that, our mortality, and live as sojourners in this world by faith in God. We're on a journey, not to the grave, but to God, who has given us his promises and the assurances of his love. One more quality of this faith that is for the saving of the souls found in the case of Moses, about whom we also spoke recently. But I want to take it tonight from verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There are powers in this world that would overwhelm us, seek to conform us to their will. They may be powers on high, and they may be powers as close by as the people we know and among whom we live day by day. Sometimes they act according to their will knowingly, and sometimes they may be an influence that is acting in the devil's cause without understanding that. But whatever the case may be, we're to know where we stand in these matters, and Moses knew where he stood. He would not allow any fear of Pharaoh or any such man in this world to cause him to turn away from God. He had his eyes focused on the invisible one. The Apostle Paul said, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." This is a little meditation tonight from Hebrews chapter 11 on the faith that is for the saving of the soul. I commend to you then the words of Scripture as found in that chapter and the examples that the writer has given to us. You need to respond to the gospel invitation this evening to become a Christian by uniting your life with Christ by faith and baptism, or if you're a child of God and needs to make a fresh start, come with repentance, ask for God's help and the prayers of your brothers and sisters to come back to the Lord and to start anew. We bid you come as we stand and sing.
Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and death in delaying. Accept God's saving grace. His life on the cross he has given. Oh, come while yet you may. He's earnestly pleading, oh, make no delay. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late.
Especially those of you that are visiting. Please come back and be with us at any and every opportunity that you may have. If there are one or more present who have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, it's been prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed at this time and someone will be there to assist you. Our closing song this evening will be number 568. Number 568. Thank you, King, for both lessons this morning and this evening. We hope that you'll come with us and be with us at the park here after this.
for some fellowship and fun.
Number 568, we'll sing the first verse. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet.
Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come here tonight and study and learn more about your word. Heavenly Father, be with the ones mentioned here tonight that's going to have surgeries or treatments and comfort and care for them as only you can. Be with their caregivers and the one overseeing them with their doctors. Heavenly Father, be with Winston and Mallory as they go through the next couple of weeks of developing a plan for the delivery of Theo. Heavenly Father, be with us as we go out throughout this week. May we be good Christian examples. Heavenly Father, be with us as we depart. Comfort us and lead us, and maybe come back here on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.